Welcome to the Agency in Focus, NASA, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
The International Space Station has been certified to last until at least 2024. Well, then what? NASA Inspector General Paul Martin says Congress and the Trump administration disagree on who will pay for its future. In part one of my interview, Martin notes, at the moment, NASA uses the station for research into human health and to test new space technology, such as
the new spacesuit and life support system that astronauts will need for some of the deep space exploration missions that are planned, particularly a crewed mission to Mars. Also, they need improvements in life support systems. They're looking at growing food for these long-term missions as opposed to carrying 9 months of canned goods for a one-way ticket to Mars. So there's an awful lot of different technologies that they're trying to develop or refine on board station.
And there seems to be an area that doesn't get talked about as much in between technology and the health risks, and that is, I guess you might say, the health risks above the shoulders, the psychology of being so far alone for such a long time, because when they go to Mars, if they do in 20, 25 years, whenever that might be, several people are going to be alone together for 2 years out and 2 years back.
It's interesting that you raise that. We're looking at human health risks, and I said they're trying to mitigate, to identify the risks and to mitigate them in low Earth orbit. But when you're at station, you can look down below, and you're 26 miles up, you can still see Earth. As you're talking about, when you take a nine-month one-way trip to Mars, you're in a very small capsule for at least 9 months, and you have all those physical issues, the things that we've all heard about, the radiation exposure and some of the ocular concerns and other balance impairments and changes to immune system from a prolonged lack of gravity. But you also have the significant interpersonal and psychological concerns of a trip. And during this audit, our auditors actually interviewed Charlie Bolden, the former NASA administrator and four-time astronaut, and asked him what concerned him the most about a long-term trip to Mars. And he pointed out exactly what you did, Tom. He pointed out the psychological issues of being that far away from home. And once you're out that far, there really is, you've got to MacGyver it yourself should you run across any problem.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something I think I would personally choose to do, but I respect those that stand in line for it. But looking at the more practical aspects in this report, you found conflicting timetables, especially with respect to ending that federal subsidy, which
very
is imagined to be happening in some number of years.
Very much so. The president's 2019 budget proposal requests ending direct federal funding for the International Space Station beginning in fiscal year 2025. And the idea is there that NASA would become one of many customers of a commercially operated station or some other privately owned low Earth orbit platform. That's the administration's position. However, several prominent members of Congress, in particular Senators Ted Cruz from Texas and Senator Bill Nelson from Florida, expressed their staunch opposition to this proposal during a May 2018 hearing that we attended, and they recently introduced legislation that would extend ISS operations to 2030. You know, Tom, one of the most important data points in this debate about how long to extend operations of the station, and right now, as a point of reference, it's authorized to last to extend into operations until October 1st, 2024. While the International Space Station is a unique resource, supporting station under the current model costs NASA between $3 to $4 billion annually, or about half of its entire human spaceflight budget. Money that at least this administration would prefer to redirect to other priorities, such as a lunar gateway and preparations for a crewed return to the moon.
We're speaking with Paul Martin. He is the NASA Inspector General. And so could NASA conceivably take advantage of the experiments it needs to have results from in the space station, even if it didn't control it and own it?
It absolutely could do that. But really, the billion-dollar question is, who would take over operations of either the current space station or a different low-Earth orbiting platform, given the cost involved? And NASA is trying to consider that. They're considering a range of options, including transitioning operations of the station itself to private industry, augmenting it with privately developed modules or deploying an entirely new platform and deorbiting the ISS.
Has anybody asked Elon Musk if he wants it?
I think Elon has his hands full right now.
Yeah, I would say so, but, you know, maybe Deloitte or something. But I guess it would be an expensive albatross for someone. It's hard to see how anyone could actually make a profit on it.
Well, that's actually one of the points that we raised in our report and during our hearing. We question the feasibility of the administration's plan on the timetable proposed. From our perspective, the primary sticking point is the tremendous costs involved with operating station. It's currently projected at $1.2 billion in 2024. And that's just operating costs, not the cost of transporting equipment or supplies or crew. We questioned whether a sufficient business case exists under which private companies would be able to develop a profit-making business independent of significant federal funding. You know, frankly, such a business case requires a robust demand for low-Earth orbit commercial activities, and that's a demand we just haven't seen in the station over its nearly 20 years of operation.
So your summarizing in the report says you question the viability of NASA's space station plans. Sounds like they're developing an Amtrak for space or something.
Well, again, I think you've got pressure on the Hill from bipartisan, bicameral pressure for extending space station well past 2024. And again, the Office of Inspector General takes no position whether it should be extended, and if so, for how long. But one of the key points is you extend NASA under its current model is going to be expending, as I mentioned, $3 to $4 billion a year to sustain station in a post-2024 environment. And that's really money that NASA desperately needs if it's going to make progress on a return to the moon.
Yes, and beyond that period is when they have to start thinking seriously in detail about Mars. And so that $3 or $4 billion could go a lot of places by the mid-20s.
Absolutely. We've done work and we've looked at other work that other folks are doing, and a decision to continue operating the International Space Station through 2028 or even beyond as the current legislation might propose would just kick out and extend the date before NASA could realistically send any type crew well beyond the late 2030s and early 2040s that folks had hoped, where we might see the first at least orbit of Mars. And it's just going to push it out because, again, half of NASA's exploration budget is going to be spent on sustaining the ISS.
I guess it is possible that Congress could say, okay, we'll buy butter and butter and pay for whatever is required for the space station and pay for Moon and Mars, but that's probably not likely either.
Well, that's absolutely. The point we're making in our audit is absent a significant, extraordinary bump in NASA's budget, this is the reality. Now, Congress may decide that this is such a high priority, doing both, as you said, having bread and butter, that they'll fund it. But we just don't see that. I mean, Congress has been kind to NASA over the past several years by certainly not cutting its budget and by incrementally increasing it. But it would take almost a geometric increase to enable them to do both of these enterprises at the same time.
And from a sheer physical standpoint, is there a absolute lifetime that the space station can exist?
Well, again, it's authorized currently till 2024 that it's structurally sound. NASA has recently completed, and its primary contractor, Boeing, an inspection of the station itself, and it's going to be reauthorized to at least 2028. It's not quite an old rust bucket yet, but it's been up there for 20 years, and systems fail, and systems get old. And so the risks increases. It's like it's a house. The longer you own it, the more work that you're going to need to take care of it and maintain it. But it's going to be structurally sound through at least 2028.
And also that question of eventually deorbiting it so that it lands and it'll burn up, I guess, or land in the ocean or something. Doesn't that have to kind of be a NASA overseen operation just to make sure it goes where it needs to go?
Absolutely. NASA working with its international partners, particularly Russia, in this matter. And NASA has developed a plan for safely deorbiting it. Now, obviously, the idea is to do so in a well-thought-out and, frankly, expensive way. It's going to cost, they estimate, approximately $950 million.
Paul Martin is the NASA Inspector General. In part two of the interview, Martin discusses some of the major management challenges facing NASA. I'm Tom Temin.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
For NASA scientists and engineers, difficult challenges are like red meat to a bear. But even these present managerial challenges. And when it comes to regular management issues, the space agency starts to look like, well, just another agency. I discuss some of NASA's top management challenges in part two of my interview with Inspector General Paul Martin.
We identified deep space exploration, NASA's science portfolio, IT governance and security, aging infrastructure and facilities, and finally, contracting and grants. All of these challenges are long-term and inherently difficult challenges that are central to NASA's mission, and they're likely to remain challenges for many years. That said, this past year, we removed a challenge we had earlier that related to sustaining NASA's space communication networks because of the progress the agency made addressing issues we raised in four different audit reports over the past several years.
Those space communication networks is how data gets from orbiting telescopes and probes and so forth back to Earth?
That's correct. Both, there's several different networks. There's the near-Earth network, which is a constellation of satellites, as it sounds, circulating near Earth. There's also communications equipment that communicates with deep space probes. So, yes, it would be fruitless to have all these terrific satellites that are exploring the solar system if we couldn't get the information, the pictures, the data back.
All right, let's talk about the science portfolio, because that's something that NASA has accumulated. I guess in some ways it's separate from the space exploration portfolio, although they seem like they go hand in glove in some ways. But what is the big issue with the science portfolio?
The big issue with NASA's science portfolio, it's all about cost, schedule, and performance. NASA's overall science portfolio has a budget that averages about $5.3 billion annually. And this is for dozens of missions that are all in various stages of development or even in operation. And they focus on four main areas: astrophysics, earth science, heliophysics, which is the study of the sun, and planetary science. And so it's all about choosing the right missions at the right time and keeping them coming, developing realistic budgets and schedules for them, and keeping to those budgets and schedules. And NASA's project management, they've had a whole series of challenges throughout its history. It's a very ambitious agency, but we and others have cautioned against excessive optimism, which sounds like kind of a funny term, but it's the culture, the kind of can-do culture, which is essential for success at NASA, but it often leads to unrealistic timetables and budgets for its projects.
And maybe the most unrealistic timetable and budget was the James Webb Space Telescope, which is, what, 10, 12, 15 years beyond the original launch, and it's kind of sitting there in limbo till they solve problems with bits and parts of it.
Yeah, I think that is the poster child for this excessive optimism and exuberance. You're right. It's currently now projected to cost $9.6 billion, and the launch has been delayed until at least March 2021, and that's due to its technical complexity as well as, frankly, human error. You know, NASA had already sunk more than $8 billion into the project, so I don't think at this point in its development anyone is seriously considering not providing the additional funds needed to launch. And when you talk to the scientists behind James Webb, you know, a successful mission promises truly groundbreaking science. This is a telescope that we're sending a million miles from Earth to a place called a Lagrange point, where the gravitational pull between the sun and the Earth are sort of similar, and this is apparently a wonderful place to position the satellite. So if it works, it's going to do amazing things. But, you know, early cost and schedule estimates for James Webb projected the project would cost anywhere from $1 billion to $3.5 billion, and the expected launch was as early as 2007 or as late as 2011. Of course, those estimates proved wildly optimistic. And the problem with overly excessive optimism and lack of technical maturation is the fact that when you start and NASA gets committed to a project like James Webb, I mean, the question is, had Congress and NASA known what they know today back in the early 2000s when they were considering James Webb? I mean, if you had laid it out and said it's going to cost $8 to $9 billion and it's going to take 15 to 20 years to develop, it may be that NASA and Congress would have said yes, go forward, because the science is that important and that good. But when you are promoting your mission and you're suggesting that it's going to be $1 billion to $3 billion and be done in 6 or 8 years, and then you get down the road and you then devolve into that, is it too big to fail? And so what it does by committing the agency, you preclude other projects. NASA's choices are limited. And in the science and space game, it's all about choices. If you do a $9 billion James Webb, you're probably not doing 5 or 6 other very significant projects as well.
Paul Martin is the Inspector General at NASA. I'm Tom Temin.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's 6 decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
We're speaking with NASA Inspector General Paul Martin, and there are more prosaic issues with NASA that show it's actually just a federal agency also, and that's information technology management, governance, and also contracting issues, which, you know, they share with so many agencies. Anything significant that's unique to NASA in that area of look-see?
Well, unfortunately, it's probably not unique, but we do have ongoing and significant concerns with NASA's IT governance and security. NASA spends about $1.4 billion annually on its IT investments, and we remain concerned about the state of NASA's IT governance, its IT security, and its IT acquisition efforts, and frankly, its vulnerability to cyber attack and hacking. NASA is one of the most forward-facing government organizations. That is, with all of this government-funded research, NASA has several thousand public websites where researchers and members of the public can access information and data about many of NASA's missions. But one of the problems when you have that many public-facing websites, people with bad intent can attempt to break in both to that website and also work across horizontally to some of the more significant NASA systems. And so we've had concerns over the years about NASA's ability to manage its IT security and its IT governance.
And let's talk about the strategic framework, is the way you describe their Mars goal mission, which I guess is the most visible thing they're up to right now. And because it's really not a detailed plan yet, but as you say, a strategic framework. And what will it take to get that into a plan that is tangible, that won't go 10 times longer and 10 times more money?
Right. It's going to take a lot of time, effort, and sustained focus to make this strategic framework a reality. We conducted an audit looking at NASA's plans for deep space exploration, and by that we mean primarily Mars. And really, one of the early keys is successful development of NASA's new rocket and capsule, the Space Launch System, known as the SLS and Orion. And so successful development of those systems are going to be key to any initial exploration missions that are going beyond low Earth orbit. And again, NASA's pointing to the SLS-Orion combination, later versions of it, as being the vehicle to take crew to Mars. But beyond the first or second mission of the SLS and Orion, NASA's plans for achieving a crewed Mars surface mission remain extremely high level. And what it's going to take is, it's going to take a lot of work, it's going to take a lot of money, and frankly, we believe it's going to take a lot of international cooperation because our sense is that no one country alone can shoulder the financial burden for a crewed mission to Mars.
Paul Martin is the Inspector General at NASA. There's much more to the interview. Listen to it in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus NASA, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.